Hi everybody, welcome to this new episode of Unhurried Pulse. In today's episode, we will continue our discussion about Japanese corporate culture. Speaking about the working culture in Japan, we may already have certain conceptions, for example, the intensive working hours and lifetime employment system. Today, Kota will share his personal views about certain phenomena that he observed at work and elaborate how such culture serves as a catalyst fostering growth of certain industries. Moreover, during undergraduate studies, Kota has worked as a host in Kabukicho, one of the biggest red light districts in Tokyo, Japan. To him, it is a short but memorable experience. How do host clubs operate? What does his daily work look like? What are the controversies surrounding the existence of host clubs? Join me today and let's listen to his unique stories. To me, this is something a little bit odd because I've heard, like, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of the Japanese student upon graduation, they may choose to go into a local company. They may stay in the company for the rest of their life. This is quite pretty common. Unlike in Singapore, it's very common for students to, let's say, he work in a company for 1 or 2 years, then jump to another company to have different types of exposure and experiences. And in Japan, it's quite the opposite. You stay in a company, and it's also very hard for them to fire you. Since you don't have this type of pressure, then why people work very hard and they don't want to take vacations?
Well, the core culture of Japanese is harmony. It means that you always are recommended to do what others do. So many Japanese people are very they really strictly follow that culture. So I don't know, if everybody like goes home at the same time, like that would be fine for them. But because everybody is kind of afraid of being accused of like, oh, he's just relaxing and we are working very hard kind of things. Yeah, I think it comes from being afraid of accusing.
I see. This again gets back to the topic that there are a lot of social norms and expectations that you're expected to follow, and to be different from other people takes a lot of courage. You may also receive a lot of judgment or criticism, which make people become very conservative and they may not want to do so.
Exactly.
But technically, since you're able to stay in a company for 10 or 20 years, if I really don't work until 8 or 9 p.m., I don't work over the weekend, it's also pretty safe for me, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to get fired and I can finish my work.
Yeah.
Then everything is going to be very peaceful if everyone does that. It's just everyone does not.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, they are working hard, but actually, I'd say the quality of work is not very good because they don't feel the, like, real pressure of being fired. So, it's a really, really bad state. The quality is not bad, but they're working long hours. So, that's why, like, it's often said that Japan's productivity is going down and one of the causes.
So, over the years, for the working culture in Japan, you've just mentioned that something starts to change very slowly. Besides the working hours, did you observe some other aspect that is also changing?
Yes, people are more sensitive to the laws, are becoming more sensitive. So working too much is decreasing nowadays. So like my age understands that the ages above were working very, very hard. But so the Japanese economy didn't get well enough to receive the fruits of working very long hours.
Mm-hmm.
And our age just understands that. So we kind of don't have a hope, or we don't expect working long hours like soaps or like is a kind of like solution to the nowadays bad situation of Japanese economy. So we just don't do it.
So you already seen that working very long hours, they are not extra benefits or contribution.
Yeah,
so
no benefit.
People are
no benefit.
Seeing this more and more clearly, so they may choose to reduce the working hours.
Yes.
After reducing the working hours outside of the work, what type of other activities or entertainment are people interested in? Do they have a lifelong hobby to practice, or what type of things are they interested in general?
Yeah, so like they kind of like to enjoy sports. The soccer is very popular in Japan. Football, soccer, and also tennis, swimming, things like that. And some people go to museums, art museums, and some people enjoy going to music festival. Yeah, so many kinds of hobbies there.
People really are trying to get the pace of life down to enjoy it. Yeah, so that's also the name of my podcast, The Unhurried Pace of
Life.
Yeah, so we really need to learn to do that to enjoy our lives.
Yeah, exactly.
Besides the working hours, since in my daily work, I also work with some Japanese clients, one thing that's quite impressive for me is that they are extremely organized people. Before the project starts, they already came up with a plan, which is really detailed that can be executed, which gives you a clear idea what needs to be implemented. So they have already set the expectation correct and also very clear. Like for me, this type of organization, this type of working style, like to me, there are some bright sides. But also, you need to be more flexible because things can change pretty fast. If we stick to the same plan without thinking about what has already changed, then this may also not going to work. Whenever you want to make a very small change, you really need to make a lot of justification. You need to write reports, write emails to explain again and again
that
in order for them to understand so that they are not challenging yourself.
The light part, the good part about Japanese culture, or maybe like in industry in the like more bigger sense, is that Japanese people are very good at doing the research. For example, yeah, making animation. So there are many introvert people tend to be introvert compared to other countries, and because of that, like sometimes people are good at creating mangas, animes. They want to express their thoughts. Like creating an anime requires a lot of time and sensitive touch, which Japanese people are very good at. And also robotics or healthcare, because of, they are aging and Japanese people are very strict. Healthcare area is very important that you don't make mistakes because it's responsible to others' lives, right? So.
Yeah, so this type of culture really is really important for those types of industries, especially in some Western cultures. If people are really expecting you to show yourself, to show your strength, to be very active, then for people who are introverted, their strength, their unique points, people may not be able to discover. But in an environment that you have a large proportion of introverted people, and people may accept those type of personalities even more, so that their strength can be fully taken advantage. For certain types of work, it requires you to be extremely strict and rigorous. And of course, everyone makes mistakes. But as you said, in industries such as healthcare, when you are performing a surgery, the price is very high if you make mistakes. So those type of rigor or those type of working style is really helping to improve the industry and making it one of the top in the whole industry. So, in your undergraduate study, did you something else that's particularly memorable?
Well, one of my memorable experiences is that I got a part-time job at a host club in Japan.
For some of our listeners who may not be very familiar with host club, this concept, including me myself, could you please briefly describe what it is?
Sure. So, it's a host club is a place where women come to drink with very handsome men. It's open at late at night, maybe like from 18 to midnight. So a woman comes to a host club. She will choose the man who is very...
who she thinks is very handsome.
Yeah, very handsome. And the process is like she will do a speed date this 5 to 10 men, and she will eventually choose like one person to be with her. And that one person is going to drink with her. And women pay a very, very high charge. Well, it's the drink is very charged like 10 times higher than usual. That's a kind of very special bar where like men offers service to them.
Each speed dating takes how long? Just 1 or 2 minutes or?
Yeah, 1 or 2 minutes.
Which means even before speaking to the young boy, maybe just by looking at the appearance, by looking at the face, she already has an idea more or less.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Wow, this is really the opposite of what's usually happening in the rest of the world.
Yeah, exactly. Rest of the world, it's like women to men, and men pay a high price.
So those are specific restaurants, I guess, also in the red light district, or?
Yes, yes, exactly. It's called Kabukicho. It's the largest red light district in Japan, which is in Tokyo.
So what is the layout like in this restaurant? Is it like a KTV room where inside each room there's one woman and 5 to 10 young men? Or everyone is mixed together inside a very big hall where you have different tables and different groups?
It's more like the latter one. Like, yeah, so they have several tables and several groups sitting there.
Okay, so the speed dating just happens there.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, what makes you interested in host club and why did you want to try?
Yeah, like two reasons. So like 5% of the reason is that I was just curious, like because it's the only industry in Japan. It's the Japan's unique industry. It isn't anywhere else in the world. And I want to see why they can monetize so much money. The rest 95% of the reason is that I wanted to improve my skills of talking or whatever, like just talking with women or
socializing.
Yeah, socializing.
In the first place, so this is unlike other types of job, right? For
right.
Other types of job, you can apply the job on the company website or apply on LinkedIn. So for this type of job, like you were just queuing outside of the restaurant, or there's also a specific channel for you to apply?
Well, I applied through the website. They also have a website too.
Oh, there are certain types of website?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you need to submit any personal information and there is any pre-screening?
Yes, there are. Actually, they have their miyasu.
Interview.
Oh yeah, interview. Mm-hmm. So to see if he's okay with the job.
What are the criterias?
First of all, needs to have like the basic communication skills, and also if they can keep working because it requires a lot of improvements, and also a lot of things. If the face is good enough, or they're like if he's firmly decided to keep on this job.
Is if he's very determined.
Oh yeah, yeah, determined. How determined he is.
Yes, if he is very determined to take this job.
Yes, yes.
How many rounds of interviews are there?
I think it was just two or something.
Okay, so the format is like one-to-one?
Yeah, one-to-one.
What type of questions would they ask? Would they give you a lot of situational questions and see how you behave, how to perform?
Yes, like one of the questions I remembered was like, how would you describe you as using one word?
Okay. Then this is also quite similar to other job interviews on the market.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so this is more testing you, how you respond, whether you're able to interact with people very well, whether you are very smart enough to maybe also read other people's mind so that you're
yes,
able
yes.
to respond appropriately.
Right. So the smartness required in that is a bit of different because the customers are women and very kind of like strange women.
Strange women?
Yeah. Because like usual people don't have such much money or they don't have their desire to find out men in this kind of.
What is the age range for people like you to work on this type of job? Usually the people is in the early 20s or?
Yeah, early 20s from 20 to 25, I think.
Okay, then above 25, such as 30 or 35, most likely you're not able to pass the interview.
Yeah, I think so. Unless he has a very good face or
Okay, very handsome.
Very handsome. Or
What about those women? So are they also like young women, or this can be different age?
well, actually, because it's very high priced liquid, so the customers are very sometimes like around 30s or 40s. They have money, they have their time to enjoy this kind of strange amusement.
Okay, so this is a something like women in the 30s or 40s talking to young boys in the 20s. Do you have some common topics to talk about?
Well, we will find some common topics, or we are not, or we are going to create some common topics.
Okay, yeah, so just for me, it's very hard to imagine for those people who pay for those services, what are they able to get from the service?
So maybe like, some women feel very pressured in their life or feel lonely because like some women are unmarried, but they have money. They have the money without any usage. And also they sometimes feel pressured, like for example, like their boss is very strict to her, or their parents don't understand her at all, or so when that kind of like stress came in to your life, came into their life, they may want to find a place to release their stress.
I see. Can you describe a typical night for our audience? Typically, you need to drink for many rounds until everyone is drunk.
Well, like, so when a woman comes, she will experience like 5 to 10 boys in just like 10 minutes, and then she will decide on just one person.
Were you lucky enough to get to the final round?
I was working there for like 2 months, and I only got one accepted. Some people are very fast at like, so on the first day they got chosen, but that didn't happen to me. I was not very popular with the women.
Did you ever see that any of your other friends in the same job and eventually they become a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship?
No, never.
Never.
Yeah, it's only customer-provider relationship.
Okay, I see. Although the topic that they are talking about may be very, very deep, because as you said, sometimes they may feel lonely or very stressed. I guess there will be a lot of vulnerability expressed during those sessions. But it's more like a seller and consumer relationship. And after that night, after getting drunk, and the next day, everything will just move on.
Like sometimes because women pay up too much money to the store, they will.
They need to borrow money
Yeah, they
to.
need to borrow money from bank or.
Wow, but they are rich women, then they are already starting to accumulate debts.
Yeah, some people can control, but some people cannot control.
Yeah, this becomes addictive. And maybe for some people who are not that very rich, but they also use their credit card or they borrow money for this
Exactly.
type of services, and eventually they are not able to control themselves
Yes.
and causing a lot of
Trouble.
trouble.
So that kind of women goes to sell their body to sex industry
In order to pay the debts.
in order to pay the debts.
Okay, I see.
That's the
Wow.
dark part of that industry.
Wow, so that become like eventually is the men serving the women, and eventually it's the other way around.
So like the money flow of Kabukicho is that like people around 40 who are very lonely, like lonely men pay money to women first, and the women then pay money to the hosts. The money flow is like that. That's the money flow.
So for this special form of industry or this special form of service to exist in Japan, I believe there are some deep reasons behind what we have seen such phenomenon. So for you, in your own personal opinion, why does such type of host club exist in Japan?
I would say that like many women in Japan are very stressed out, don't have a place to express like outward their feelings. And also there's also a problem that like many men, there are so few men in Japan who are very good at doing lady first things. So when the women can't find the right man, and when they have stress, they will like to find a place to meet their needs.
This is also like an addiction, because if I'm thinking myself in the shoes of them, this is not going to give you happiness,
right. Very
stable happiness. Then it's similar as addiction to alcohol. You're just talking to a bunch of people that you don't know personally. It's a way for you to release your stress or sadness in the short term, but it's not going to be sustainable or bring you true happiness.
Yeah, exactly.
This also means in terms of social support or emotional support, this may be kind of lacking in Japan's social system.
Yes, right. So the social system is sometimes very like hard to access. It exists, but it's hard to access. And many people don't use it, have never used it. So that's kind of one of the
And especially
points.
People are very conservative and are not very used to express themselves. And
Yeah. Under
such cases, a lot of the sorrows or sadness you can only keep to yourself.
Yes.
And people are not very used to asking for help.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. In a typical month, how much were you able to earn if you perform well?
It depends, but the highest is like 100,000 Sing dollars per month.
Wow, that's really, really a lot.
Yeah. Exactly. When he's just 21 or 22.
That can explain like why a lot of undergraduate, they are very interested in such type of work. So first, can I understand it as a very respective work? Because there's no sexual activities conducted.
Oh, sorry. I forgot to mention that. Like, the sexual activities are sometimes conducted, but without anybody knowing that.
Okay.
Yeah. They say to the others that there are no sexual activities, but sometimes it's conducted underwater.
Underwater. But in general, for Japanese society, for such type of host club, do people accept it?
Well, it's becoming accepted, but it's not. It's still like underground job. Not very accepted. Like, people who are very into the industry cannot borrow money from banks.
So let's say when you are in your university and you join such host club, do you really need to keep it to yourself, or when other people that's close to you know you're going there, that they may think is very weird?
Well, like, very serious friends would think that I'm weird, but like many people would say that would be an interesting experience.
Majority of the people still accept it.
Yeah. So, but they don't want to become one.
Or
it's not accepted, like, you know, officially. Not accepted officially,
okay.
But it's interesting.
Still the minority of the people who actually went there and joined the host club.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. And you think your social interaction skill improved a lot after work?
Well, not that much, but there are many concepts I learned.
Were you able to drink much more than before?
Yeah. I had to drink a lot, so.
So they may force you to drink even if you don't want to drink because it's part of your job scope.
Yeah.
And you just stay there for 2 to 3 months, then you left, is it?
Yes.
When you started to feel it becomes very repetitive, or when you feel that there's a very low chance you're not able to pass to the last round?
Well, yeah, I think it's the latter, more like the latter. So there are so many handsome boys there, and I was not handsome enough to be chosen very often. So it's difficult to earn money.
It must be a very unforgettable experience.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
It was an interesting experience.
So at the end of the show, there is a tradition for this podcast. That is, the previous guest already left a question for you.
Okay.
And after answering to this question, you also have the chance to ask the question to the next guest, although you don't know who he or she is.
Cool.
Okay. So the question from the previous guest is,
I will ask that person, what makes them passionate in life? What is their passion in life?
Like, in one word, I would say that I want to make people stronger and happier. Yeah, that's my like core passion. And the reason is that as a Chinese-Japanese living in Japan, I also had many times like not going well, because it's kind of difficult living between the cultures. It's like those two sides are not your enemy, but not your side. So I also sometimes had addiction problems in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have already recovered it. From that experience, I would say that the most important thing in life is to become happy.
When you really overcome something hard in your life, then you're really motivated to help other people who are in the similar problems, and you can really resonate with your experiences.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's my passion.
Yeah. Then yeah. About your own question.
Okay, so the question I want to ask to the next guest is, after 10 years, who would you spend your time with, and where will you be? What are you going to do?
And that's basically the future plan.
Your future plan.
Okay, I see. Thank you very much, Kota, for joining today's interview.
Yeah.
And wish you all the best in your future career and life.
Yes, thank you.